Okay, so this is a very spontaneous podcast that we're bringing you now. Today, Mike McHagnon has been fired from the Jets very, very randomly. So guys, straight away, hit me up, what you're thinking.
Right, if you don't mind, I'll have a quick word first. I've been on the bandwagon to get rid of Mike McHagnon. I think he should have gone when Bulls got went. Unlike a lot of people, I was not happy with the draft. I think we overspent in free agency. I think getting rid of him is a great thing. I do not think he's a good GM. However, the idea of getting rid of him after free agency in the draft, as much as I didn't like the draft, it is still a crapshoot. I may be completely incorrect in my opinion of the draft. We will not know that until the players have actually played. It is a complete indictment of everything wrong with this franchise that we have actually fired a person between the draft and training camps. Like, what the hell is going on? I just don't get it. I don't get why he wasn't. This is not a sudden decision. There's no way they've thought he's drafted Quinnen Williams. Because as much as I didn't like it, a lot of people did. He's not lost his job because of the draft. As much as I think he's overpaid in free agency, we need to overpay in free agency. People don't want to play with us. I just don't get what he could have done this off-season to have kept his job. And if there was nothing he could have done to keep his job, why did he not lose it when Bowles lost it and let the new GM come in and have the draft? And have it just makes no sense whatsoever. It's baffling.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, I think before the Derby game comes back on, it's worth me having a bit of a rant as well. I think the key for me, it's that we let him have the keys to a Cadillac when it was worth a lot more, you know, than it was previously. So, for example, he had a fantastic draft pick at third.
Hello?
Okay, I'm going to jump in while Don's having minor technical issues. I'm not going to lie. Woke up 1:30, saw the NBA draft lottery, and the Knicks ended up in third. And I thought, oh, crap. And then I thought, well, you know, if that's the worst part of my day, that's fine. And you know, I went to work, and I worked, and I came home, and I was thinking, oh, what can I do now? And then my phone goes off, and it's my old buddy Adam Schefter swinging out a tweet saying that Mike McHagnon's been taken out of the back like old Yeller and shot. Now I'm in agreement with Josh that yeah, he has failed in his job. Yeah. However, like a good comedian, timing is I'm gonna try not to swear. Timing is everything. And this timing is oh my God, could they have made it any worse? and then for the Lions to come out initially saying he didn't want Le'Veon Bell. Turns out now it's more he didn't want to pay the price for Le'Veon Bell.
Mm-hmm.
That this guy hasn't even turned up for a training camp yet. You know, I know they were mandatory, but he hasn't even turned up for training camp and he's already hearing that the coach isn't fully on his side. I mean, it went from being really bad to kind of just beyond the pale. I mean, we've been through some experiences for the Jets, but every time you think it can't get worse, they somehow find a way.
Talking about time and we're talking about the draft, right? There is also no way ownership doesn't sign off in draft when you're picking in the top three. They don't care about fourth, fifth rounders, right? When you're picking top three, they know they'll sign off on every decision. They'll sign off in giving Mosley 50-odd million guaranteed and the rest of it. I can't remember the numbers. I've not got it in front of me. They've signed off on that. There is nothing he could have possibly done since Bowles got fired to lose his job.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. This has been brewing for ages. This has been brewing for ages. Anyway...
I think it's worse than this. I think that Gase has come in a power struggle with him and Gase has won.
That's what I think as well. That's why.
In 3 months' time, right? And again, we're going back time again. I didn't like the Gase hire, right?
Mm.
How Gase can come in without coaching a game for the Jets and go to ownership and get rid of the GM, it just shows complete dysfunction from top to bottom. And George was right. Even if Gase turns out great, because he could do, I could be wrong, the Dolphins could be even more of a try not to swear pithole we are, right? It could be even worse, right? And that's why he failed. But he's now come into the Jets. He's now got his own offensive coordinator who was a complete failure at Miami. The rumours are they're getting his best mate from the Eagles. And I think he's quite good. I've not got a problem with the guy they're going for. But we're basically giving an unproven head coach complete control over every decision in the football side of things, including people that's meant to be above him. It just makes no sense.
It's not even just that he's unproven, though, is it? It's that when he has had a chance in the past, he's not really delivered. You know, if you look at some of his play calling last year, we're talking about like bubble screens on third and long.
Oh, I can't wait for that. See when it's third and 10 and we throw a 3 yard screen behind the line of scrimmage. Oh.
Yeah.
See, for me, I think that a lot of people are giving Gase the blame, and I can understand that. But I think the blame has to come down onto Christopher Johnson, because massive gross mismanagement of the franchise. Because he obviously knows that he's going to get rid of him. He obviously knew we didn't want him there. So why did he keep him around to spend in free agency and take a draft pick? I mean,
that's why I don't think it can be going back that far. I just because I remember right. If anyone not in the chat, we had the big conversation when all rumours, was it 3-4 weeks ago the rumours started coming out? Was it even as long
Yeah,
as
during
as
the
that?
Draft.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. During the draft.
The rumours, it was the day after the first pick one. And everybody was, I was just sitting there like, you know what, they probably have had a fallout. But there's no way you're firing the GM before the first game of the season.
I mean, I said in a previous podcast, I obviously, none of us knew this was so close to happening. I said in a previous podcast that, you know, this is a fresh start for everybody, but I didn't mean fresh start for McCagnan somewhere else. I mean, this is crazy. I just you've got to think that there's been from the start of the draft onwards, you know, one side against another wanting to get their way, and there's been a winner. There's someone who's convinced ownership that they are more important than the other.
It's like you've got a defensive coordinator as well who, by all accounts, hates Gase. Like, who's doing the hiring here? So it's like there were two teams, like there were two sides set up in that.
That's what I was going to say, right? You're going off the back of saying Gase has proved to be more important to ownership. But that goes against every decision they've made then, because apparently the problem was Gase didn't want to pay Bell. The ownership were quite happy to let McCagden do it. Gase didn't want to pay Mosley. The ownership were quite happy to do it. Gase didn't want the DC. The ownership were quite happy to let McCagden do it. Then once all the decisions have been made, go, oh, but we prefer Gase, so on your bike. Now, all these guys that McCagden has hired are all sitting there going, "What? When are we out of job then?"
This is such a mess that I think this podcast should sublime into the potential top five picks of the 2020 NFL draft, because the way this is going, we're picking high again. We're picking high again, and guaranteed it's going to be in the defensive lineman. But no, see, all jokes aside, this is a new level for the Jets in recent years of mismanagement and just idiocy. And there's no other way to describe it. I will defend the teams I support from start to finish. I support the Islanders. The ownership there has been crazy at times. I've supported the Mets through some horrific seasons. I'm a solid Knicks fan. And well, if you don't know what the Knicks are like, just type Knicks dumpster fire into Google and check that out. But this is the icing on the cake. This is the timing, the letting him spend like every penny in the piggy bank and then going, yeah, bye. I thought Phil Jackson at the Knicks, and that whole thing with Dolan was crazy. This is just banal.
That's something, right? I really, in terms of American sports, which are set up differently, I really only follow American football and basketball. So I don't know about the other two.
No, no.
Have you ever heard a GM of whatever sport getting fired within weeks of the draft before training camps even officially started?
I mean, there was it wasn't this close, but the Phil Jackson situation when he picked Frank Ntilikina is the only thing I think of was slightly comparable. I mean, he kind of saved his ass when he drafted Porzingis, and then he turned out to be really good and not just some really tall European guy who somehow shot threes, you know. But the Ntilikina pick, everybody kind of related Phil Jackson to going because of that, but the gap wasn't this close. I mean, it wasn't like 2 weeks. You know, it's madness to give him everything and then just go, yeah, do what you like, and then just get rid of him. I mean, you can say something may have been brewing, but this, to me, screams of something immediate, something fundamental, one major event that happened. Whether it being how he went about trying to get extra picks and that didn't sit well with certain people. Maybe he turned down offers that everybody else, maybe he ran roughshod and everybody went, yeah, no, take that offer, we'll get an extra pick. And he just went, no. I don't know, but it screams of one fundamental event that happened that has led to this. There may be things that leak in the next couple of days that explain this a bit more and shed a bit more light onto this, but I mean, anything less, I think they could have worked through, even if they got rid of McCagan at the end of the season, because they know how detrimental this is with this firing now. It leaves a lot of players in massive limbo, not knowing if they're a coach pick, not knowing whether they're an owner's pick, whether they're the previous GM's pick.
The other thing as well, right, we can all admit, right, McCagan, I think, was a complete failure. However...
Well, no, I don't go that far. I wouldn't go that far. Okay, I've never gone as far as a complete failure with him.
Okay, right. Well, in my opinion, he was a complete failure, right? However, we can also admit, I don't think anyone here is going to deny he's been treated unfairly in timing of the firing. Anyone?
It's hard to know with not much information, but it seems a bit...
I got to a point with him random. I wanted him out. Like, I felt like he's had a few good drafts. He's brought in some decent players. He engineered what I think was a decent trade to get up for Darnold, which, in hindsight, did he need to? Could we have picked up a QB at 6 where we were last year? Maybe. But the big thing here, the thing that rings alarm bells for me is there's two things. One, at the beginning of this process, they knew they wanted him gone, but they still let him make the picks. And Or the other option is they've only just realised that they wanted him gone, but actually, they still let him make the picks anyway. Like, we're in such... I don't know where we come.
Okay.
I think we lost them again.
Yeah. Following from that, right. If you're a promising scout or analytics guy who's looking for a GM job, is anyone taking the Jets job?
I don't know, man. It's amazing. It's amazing how strong the allure of a good paycheck can be. Some people will put up with all sorts of situations to build their bank account.
The guys they're talking about are not guys that aren't going to get jobs elsewhere.
It's, you know, we can't look at it as everybody's moral and everybody's more about winning than earning money. You know, this is the NFL, for God's sake. There are so many people out there that are only in it for, you know, they've got to a point in their career where, yeah, they've been somebody who wants to win and now they're somebody who just wants to get paid. No, going to New York and operating with this organisation,
you can get fired in 2 years, right? And you can pay more, but you might be better off taking less money over a 5-year contract.
Who's going to last out a 5-year contract? No, the way this is going, people are lucky if they make it 18 months. I mean, anything could happen. You just don't know. I mean, to go into employment not knowing which way the wind's blowing from day to day, it's crazy. I mean, I've done this whole podcast with my head in my hands. I can't make sense of it.
That's the thing. And the thing that I took the most out of this today was it just screams same old Jets. That's all it screams to me. Embarrassing. Yep. Like, it's like they can't spend more than a couple of weeks being the laughingstock of New York, let alone the NFL.
I thought the Giants were the laughingstock after their quarterback pick. Why did we have to go and take the crown back?
Giants are the laughingstock of the NFL.
Yeah, 100%.
Hold my beer.
Well, you know, I mean, at least we know being Jets fans, it's never boring. No. So that's something we can, some solace we can take out of this. But it's been great ranting with you guys, and I'm sure when we speak again, there'll be some more news to be had. So
hopefully some positive news for once.
Let's hope so. But thanks for joining in the rant, and I hope everyone listening has enjoyed it.
I'm off to cry in a corner.
See you guys.
Cheers.
Bye. Yeah.